Would you open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 5 in our seventh study in Genesis? This will be a short study because this in chapter 10 of Genesis is basically a genealogy. The book of Genesis is divided up into what's called toledot. Toledot is the word for generation. And you have these generation tables. There are, if I remember correctly, 11 of them in Genesis. And that is the structure of the book. This is part of the reason why I believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is the heading of the book instead of referring to some original creation sequentially. But here we are in chapter 5, and what we're going to see very briefly, this is going to be the shortest lesson I have ever taught. I guarantee it, as Justin Wilson used to say. Pardon me? Well, I don't. Would you like me to? I've got some rabbits we can go after. But this is here is where we see the curse for sin is at work. Here is the outworking of sin. Sin complicates life. Truth is simple. But we live in a complicated world. And that is the tension that everyone must face. Of taking a very simple truth, we usually say something like, that's easier said than done. And that's part of the reason for it. Truth is simple, but life is complex. And it's complex because of sin. It affects our relationships with other people, you know. My sin nature interferes with your sin nature. And there we have it. So, this verses, the main idea, as I see it in this passage, is to grab a hold of the last part of this chapter and make it the dominant idea that only by walking with Yahweh, that is in obedience and in fellowship with Him, can we enjoy the blessing of the calling of God on our lives and anticipate victory over sin's curse. Only by this hope of the gospel, which causes us to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him, can we find meaning in life, even keeping us from getting into despair. So let's look at this. Last week we saw, was it last week? We saw that culture and human depravity existed side by side, and they both existed. They brought in the music, they brought in the practical arts, they developed the fine arts, and yet also there's more violence in the world. And so last week we saw that outside of the garden, man has developed all of these fine arts. But they still cannot solve the sin problem. And one of the problems I see in our society is that we think because we have better medicine today and better transportation and so forth, that we can solve the two basic problems that every human faces. You know what the two basic problems are? Sin and death. And those two are related. And we're already trying to extend life through medicine. Okay? And I praise God for that. Our society thinks that because we have become more technically advanced, we are more morally advanced. And that is a non sequitur. It doesn't follow. Because I am able to make a better tool does not mean I am a better person. So here we have, in verses 1 through 5, we see that humanity's purpose is to represent God and enjoy his blessings. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, meaning that he put him as a godlike representative in the world. God has sovereignty over all of creation. He's appointed man to be the ruler over the earth. In that sense is the likeness. It's not in any kind of moral or intellectual likeness with God. It is a positional thing. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female created he them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. So the purpose, your purpose in life, is to rule as God's agent in this world. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness. That's incredible. That is incredible that at 130 years, he has a child. That's incredible, isn't it, Miss Nelda? How would you like to be 130 years old and understand you're going to give birth to a child? Man, huh? That's incredible. Yeah, go ahead. I think it was 130 years. They lived longer back then. Yeah. 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 Methuselah's going, yeah, yeah. 900 and some years? Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Methuselah, yeah. 910 years or something like that. We're in here somewhere. That's a long time. 969 years, verse 27. 969 years. They had some long livers in that family. My uncle had a liver that long. Sorry. 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, that phrase, and he died, is going to become boringly monotonous. It's going to appear over and over and over again, which is those three words summarize mankind. And he died. There it is. Now in verses 6 through 20, we see that death limits our ability to represent God and enjoy his blessing. That's what we saw in Hezekiah and Isaiah 38. I won't be able to see the Lord in the land of the living, see him at work. So we're going to see in this passage, verses 6 through 20, notice again the repetition of that, those three words. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived, after he had fathered Kenan, 815 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel, and Kenan had lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived, after he fathered Jared, 830 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. Are you beginning to get the idea what this passage is trying to get across? Repetition, isn't it? Right. Verse 18, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enosh. Jared lived after he had fathered Enosh 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Wow. They weren't able to enjoy God forever in the land of the living. I have a feeling that Adam and Eve were not born immortal. They were not created immortal. And that is why they were to eat of the tree of life. But when they were denied that's when they died. They were cut off from the source of living. So that's how that goes. But notice the repetition of this phrase, and he died. Well, in verses 21 through 24, we see that our responsibility is to walk with God. And this is modeled for us in a beautiful way of Enoch. Verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah, which means after this, something disastrous is going to happen. Enosh walked with God after he'd fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, this is a variation from the phrase, and he died. Now, what does it mean God took him? We often use that phrase to refer to death, but most commentators believe that he was taken directly to heaven. He was taken directly to heaven, and that he did not face death, just like Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot as another one. And so there's the two exceptions. But you notice he walked with God. You do not find that phrase anywhere else in verses 5 through 20. You find, and he died, and he died, and he died. But here he walked with God, and God took him. And we don't find the phrase, and he died. Our responsibility in this world is to be like Enoch. We are to walk with God. And all around us, we see death. We live in a culture of death. Do you know that? That's what Pope John Paul II described the abortion crisis. We live in a culture of death. And I am convinced that since we have redefined an infant, and we've redefined marriage, and we have redefined gender, what's left in mankind's efforts to create the world in his own image? I think we're going to find him redefining what's human. And with AI coming, artificial intelligence coming on the scene, that's going to become increasingly more and more obscure. And I think I told you when I studied German that in the German dictionary, they would give definitions of words, and then you would have the NS, National Socialist, and that was the officially politically correct definition of the word. And that's what they did. They redefined human so as to exclude all Jews. We'll get to there. I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there. There's a wonderful book if you want to read about this subject. It was written back in the late 50s, early 60s. So it's very prophetic, and you can take his thesis and advance it and say, I can see how this is happening in our society. But the book is called The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. The Abolition of Man. And so they're going to abolish humanity. It's a small book. Maybe it's 120 pages at most. Small book, but profoundly insightful. The abolition of man. Our goal is to walk with God, and we want God to take us. Now, in verses, we go down to verses, the last part here, we see our hope for relief from the curse is walking with God. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had their other sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he'd fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Notice that it's starting to get, the length is starting to get a little slower. And Noah was 500 years old, fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we're going to see what's going to happen here in chapter 6. When man began to multiply on the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took their wives as they chose. And that is so profound a subject, we're going to leave it for next week. Because I am convinced nobody knows for sure what this is about. Oh, every scholar has taken a shot at it. But you find godly men, Bible-believing men on all sides of this issue. Is this the sons of Seth? Are these angels? We'll talk more about that next week. But here you see in chapter 5, see, I told you this would be a short lesson. Here you see in chapter 5, if you wanted a phrase to summarize it, it's, and he died. The one exception is Enoch, and he walked with God. This pictures what we are called to do. We are called to walk with God in a dying and decaying world. Everything is going to pass away. You know, I was talking with Red a while back, and I said, I firmly believe the people who, if we could bring them back from the grave, those soldiers who died in World War II, and bring them back and show them what's going on today, I think most of them would be absolutely shocked and say, this is not what I died for. But I would have responded to him, all countries are part of cosmos diabolicus, and all of them, all human culture is bound to die. It's bound to be corrupt. And while we glory in it, especially in PBS, it's all passing away. My grandmother used to have a poem. She would call it a poem. I would call it doggerel. Remember this one, only one life, and soon 'twill pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. My grandmother lived by that, and I think she's right. All of our loyalties to everything else are going to pass away. And as I said earlier today, we need to see everything in relationship to Jesus Christ. He is the most important thing, and he alone will deliver us from this death. We will die, but we will not remain dead. We will be resurrected with a glorified body, and we can talk about that sometime in 1 Corinthians 15. I know Red has expressed interest in finding what kind of glorious body he's going to have. I can assure you, Red, it'll be better than what you got. No offense. No offense. Yeah. Yeah. And you won't need a cane. You'll be able to walk without cane. One person got it. Okay. Are there any questions before we close? Now, I'm paying you back for all the times I ran over. So don't complain. Father in heaven, help us to desire to be holy and to submit to your sovereign will and to live and walk in a way that pleases you, so that death, when it comes, is not the end but the beginning. Not a curse but a blessing. And we look forward to the day when death itself, the last enemy to be destroyed, will be swallowed up in victory. Help us, Father, to live this week thinking about our Lord, trying to serve him, please him in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.